President Grover Cleveland is both the 22nd and the 24th President of the United States, and the only president to serve two non-consecutive terms.
Welcome to two-thirds normal what? Amounts of focus. Right. Rasmus, what? No, shut up. I'm doing the thing. I'm Rasmus.
And I'm back and old and alive.
And I'm young. Also pretty much, very much alive.
Mostly, at least.
Mostly.
Yeah. So how the fuck are you doing, Red?
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's just perfect.
I'm a bit better. I've known better, but I'm a bit better. The past 2 weeks have been very challenging. I've not been that sick in years. And
I hate man flu.
Yeah, no, I don't. According to my doc, it was something to do with my sinuses, but it felt like meningitis, if that's the real word.
Meningitis?
Yeah. So basically, it was my whole body was hurting. I had I couldn't move my head because my neck was really hurting, my shoulders and everywhere else. Same symptoms as the flu, minus the fever, plus the coughing and all the body fluid being very present. So it was just a fucking mess. And really, I had to lay down for 2 weeks. I was in bed for almost 2 weeks. So,
a little bit of Elden Ring?
Not even a little bit. Thankfully, my kid was on holidays, so I did not have to fetch him from school or whatever. Mm. So I basically spent 2 weeks sleeping and trying to get better and drinking and eating a lot of medication. And I am. I'm not 100% yet, but I'm feeling better. So yeah, that's basically been my 2 weeks. And of course, my fucking computer died. It's a graphic
card. How did that go?
I have no fucking clue. I paid for a very expensive graphic card a little bit more than a year ago.
Yeah.
And suddenly it just died on me. So thankfully I had the old graphic card that Jan sent me a few years back.
Yeah.
So I'm still able to run my computer now, use it a little bit. But it's been sent back to the seller and they are now trying to see what's wrong with it. And if they can't find anything, they will send me a new one. But fact,
which will most probably happen.
Yeah, hopefully, because I was sick. I spent literally 4 days trying to fix everything that I could think of with that fucking PC. Reinstall Windows, erased all the drivers and reinstall all the drivers and do plenty of tests with different displays and cables and all the fucking things that you have to... I'm going to say fuck a lot today, sorry.
But you're French.
Yeah, excuse my French. But yeah, I brought the car to a repair shop and the guy plugged it into a computer and said, yeah, it died. It's going to be $10. Fuck. Thank you. It literally lasted for 20 seconds. So just to confirm that it was not me doing something wrong with the PC and just to have a professional point of view on the matter, I did that. And then all the process is now processing. So we'll see. But that's not something I wanted to deal with being sick because as I said, it's a very expensive graphic card. It was about $800. Mm. And not having that means that, my computer is slow. I can't process video. I can't do video editing. I can't do sound editing. I can't do, I can, but not the way I was able to do it with my, quote unquote, real graphic card, expensive one.
Yeah, so it's slow and it's frustrating. Right?
It's slow, it's frustrating, and it's not the way I'm used to. And it plus I was sick. I was not in the mood to just deal with that shit. So anyway, it's been my 2 weeks. I did miss a lot, but I'm feeling a little bit better. So thanks to everyone who sent me messages to ask how I was doing during these 2 weeks. So Raz, Jan, thank you.
No worries.
And to all the other listeners, I'm still alive. So
he said, bubbling over with enthusiasm.
Yeah, exactly. You see, you can feel the excitement.
What about you, Jan? Why are you hurting?
So, well, on Friday, let's start with Friday last week, I met some friends who went to a concert. That was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Saturday, I visited a friend of mine, and afterwards we decided to go on a walk. And while we were driving, I got into an accident. That was not fun.
Yeah. Mm.
So I'm now minus a car, which is, I mean, yeah, not good, but it's like more importantly, thankfully, nobody got hurt badly.
Yeah. That's what's important, yeah.
So, I'm mostly hurting all over because of bruises, airbags went off, that kind of stuff. So,
in your face or on the side?
Side, face. I was holding the steering wheel, so this is why one of the fingers got dislocated and a few scratches. Ooh. But, nothing major. Like, it's really like, this is nothing. Like, I'm just really happy that, first of all, my friend who was my passenger, I mean, she had a real buzzing ear for at least a couple of days.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, the shock going into it, like I don't even want to really recall it at the moment. So yeah, that was unfortunate. And so this week on Monday, I went to the exhibition that we were with the company, because I decided that rather than dwelling in self-pity and aching at home, I'd rather just go to the exhibition and work through it. Which was a good decision, actually. It was a good trade show. I had a lot of, it's fun with my colleagues, but we were successful. It was not boring during that time. Cool. But yeah, we got home from that today. Well, we were recording like Thursday. And still hurting a bit and still pretty exhausted in the evening, because you can definitely feel that your body is like in a healing process, like physically and mentally, I guess. And other than that, I'm doing fine.
Good.
That's good.
Happy. Yep. It was not like a big accident and was just like bruises and stuff. But
yeah, exactly. And I'll probably need a new car because that
was it. The company car or your?
Yeah, it was the. It's the only car I have.
Yeah.
Mm. So okay. Yeah, how about you, Russ?
Well, I'm fine. I'm doing good.
You haven't been sick. You didn't ruin your car. You like
no. No, why would I do any of these?
You're so
things?
Boring.
Because we were bored, so we wanted a little bit of excitement in our life.
A little bit of excitement in our life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, don't do that.
No. Do not recommend.
I have quite simply just been working and been able to put in a few good days in the workshop. Also, I was teaching a blacksmithing class this Saturday. I mentioned it in the stories today. But it was kind of interesting because one of the students showed up without one arm.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Which sort of in the style of accidents, it was an interesting story. He, not without an arm. He had only like mobility in the entirety of the arm. The only thing he can move is like the pinching movement vaguely between thumb and index finger.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Rest of the arm is basically dead.
Okay.
Because he was riding a motorcycle and hit a moose.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Did the moose died at least?
Nobody knows. He was by himself. He remembered the morning. He remembered filling petrol or whatever into the motorbike that morning. And then he remembers the hospital that he spent 2 weeks at, but he don't remember the 2 weeks at hospital.
Oh, damn.
Oh, wow.
And the only reason they know it was a moose is because they were fur inside his helmet.
Tiny helmet. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I would have hunted this motherfucker down till the day I die.
That's the funny thing. Like, he is still a pretty active guy and he is hunting.
Good. I'll be fine.
Yeah, probably me too.
Yeah.
See a moose running with a motorcycle leather jacket through the forest.
So, I mean, the accident happened years back. So he's like, the state he's in is the state he's in now at this point. Mm-hmm. But of course, he didn't tell me beforehand about the blacksmithing and that he has reduced mobility and issues and all that. So I was like, oh, okay. I guess we'll deal with that when we deal with that.
Yeah.
So like he could, in the barest sense of it, he could hold like a pair of tongs with his weak hand, basically.
Yeah.
But he has very limited amount of control. So it's something like he could technically, but considering being a beginner, having very limited eye hand coordination into startup blacksmithing. I guess that's the important part here. Yeah. It didn't do much for him except that he got the chance to try, but it went fine in the sense that he did a few things on his own, tried to figure things out. I tried to help him. And then after a while, when he's starting to fall behind, I was holding the piece for him and just telling him where to hit and how to do it.
Good, yeah.
And he finished a knife just like everybody else.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, but it interesting experience of having someone with one hand trying to blacksmith, which I would always think requires two. But you ended up chatting a lot, and he really wants to do a lot more of that. Of blacksmithing and handcrafted things. So we started after the class to spend nearly an hour or something just talking through, like, okay, how could he potentially engineer some kind of system to help him actually hold the piece? Does he need a better pair of tongs? And it's like, maybe not, because he doesn't have any functionality or control. So the hand, maybe eventually he can get some kind of eye-hand coordination going with the abilities he have.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be far, far easier for him to just ignore that hand completely and just figure out how can we, as quickly and easily as possible, get a hot piece of steel from the forge onto the anvil and clamped into something so that he can hit it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, you're suddenly also adding a lot of complexity and, like, well, it needs to hold a lot of different kinds of shapes depending on what you're forging. Oh, if it's tapering already, you need to be able to hold that taper.
That would be perfect for an extra arm, like a robot.
Yeah.
Like you are or something like that. You've reprogrammed the different working steps, and like every time you clamp it in, you just hit the button and it brings it at least in that direction. There's a lot of stuff you can do with that.
Oh, absolutely. Things. But then you're also talking probably shit tons of money.
Yeah, I mean, that depends on, it's probably as much as your power hammer.
Yeah, which is 10 grand.
Yeah.
And I have a small one, so I mean,
you know, yeah. there is chopsticks for people who are not good with chopsticks. They are they are attached together, and they are two rings.
Like
one ring.
Kids tryout version.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you can, if he wants to come back, or if he wants to do a little bit of blacksmithing on his own, you can just like weld a pair of rings on the tongs, so he can just clamp it with his fingers.
The problem isn't holding.
It's the orientation.
It is to how to hold it securely on the anvil and not have to flop around for each hit.
Okay.
Because there's no strength. He can do like that pinching motion around a pair of tongs.
Yeah.
Not strong enough to hold anything really securely. He needs really, really good tongs.
Okay.
But of course, if he has good tongs, then that helps a fair bit. But kind of imagine that your hand is stuck at your navel. And the only thing you can do is sort of a rounded pinching motion between a thumb and forefinger. And I realize this is excellent audio content for people at home.
Yeah.
So like he only has like that placement of the tongs with him coming out, and then he needs to swing his hammer all the way around and over himself to hit the piece.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of things going on. And we talked through a few options. He will see if I can find someone who can help him basically make some kind of anvil shaped object with a custom clamp on it. But also, like, we just realized, I talked to him, it's like, I can go through all of the different things you should be able to do eventually. But none of that matters unless you can figure out the most basic way of just holding something and hitting it.
Yeah.
And being able to move very fairly quickly from the forge and to the anvil and to the first strike. Because ideally, if that should take like a couple of maximum of like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
In my world, it's less, but if you can do it in 3 seconds with one arm, that's fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, if you're approaching 10 seconds, you're losing too much heat. So you need to figure that part out. Yeah. But
reminds me of the time I was supposed to teach French to a 90-year-old Japanese woman who was almost fully deaf. So communication was kind of hard, but the reason I'm mentioning that is because we worked our way around the impairment, so to speak.
Yeah,
and I find it great that people don't stop doing something or chasing a dream or trying something new just because they have some difficulties in any kind of way. Yeah, you can be deaf, you can be blind, you can be without an arm or fully functioning arm and still do the things that you want to do or try. even if it's one time, like not letting this quote unquote handicap manage your life or dictate the way you have to live is fucking great. I really like that.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, you can probably argue to some extent that he should have told me before coming to the class.
I understand why he didn't.
Yeah. And I mean, so do I as well. And I think it's a really good reason because he knows what he's signing up for.
Yeah.
When he shows up with one arm.
Man,
maybe just, even to the extent of telling me beforehand would just make me more anxious about it.
Yeah, or change the way you teach or try to adapt your workshop to him, which is not the point. He wants just to be like everybody else and have the same experience, which is great.
And I just realized, like, I think we've been thinking about it the wrong time because we're thinking about the hand to hammer. Hmm. Dude, it's like what he needs is basically a machine where he can just clamp in the hammer in like different position and different angles, and that hits the anvil maybe with a foot pedal, and then he can use his healthy hand.
Hammer,
absolutely.
Very good point.
Because then he can also use the good hand to adjust the hammer in the angle or position he needs it to.
Yeah, no,
so that might be the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
Fuck you, Jan. You're too smart for us. Yeah, absolutely. I'll see if I can actually send him a link to a Threadle Hammer video.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a few, I know I have seen a few of them, and that you can buy kits and you can retrofit it to fit any kind of anvil, things like that. Yeah, no, fucking hell. That's a good one. Yeah. Okay, moving on. I made knives this week.
Yeah.
I was going for a knife that was supposed to be like 20 centimeter, but I started with a bit too much material when I forge welded it together. So I ended up making a Viking saxe at nearly 30 centimeters instead.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's getting closer to Red Sword.
Yeah.
I'm scaling up to it. And also I've been talking to an old scout group of my old scout group. So they will be stopping by in a couple of weeks as well. Probably not to make their own, forge their own knives. I don't think they have, or I have the time for that, but they will have a go at things and they want to buy some knife blades off me.
Nice.
And this is the scout group that allowed me to make my first knife 20 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. Can't be. You're not that.
Yes, I was negative six at the time. Shut up. But also, I had I noticed a sign of spring in Oslo. And I mean, yes, it's very early March. Like, spring is not going to show up for another 2 months.
You're scaring me now.
Yeah, but... Oh, I scared myself. That's the fun part. I was laying in bed. I was reading my book.
And... Stop. I'm getting... It's spooky. You in bed. It's already spooky enough. Stop it. There.
No, you have too much of a vivid, naughty imagination. What happened was I saw a shadow out the corner of my eye.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I have the window open. There's lights. It's not uncommon for a bird to fly by or anything like that. And I just twitch because I see something.
But it was the ghost of spring.
Nearly. It was a decently sized spider.
Oh, damn.
Crawling on the wall next to my head.
Mm,
no.
Eight-legged nope.
I can guarantee I did not scream like a little girl and jump out of bed, but I did very quickly move and pick up the biggest book I can find.
Yeah, you did well.
And
you smashed it?
Oh, of course. And then I realized now there's goo on my wall and I had to clean that up.
Still better than having a living spider.
Why do I want a living spider?
It eats the mosquitoes.
No, fuck that.
Norway. No mosquitoes. Too cold. Fine.
Oh, that's bullshit. I got eaten alive when we were visiting you.
Oh, yeah. You brought them with you. That's what happened.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
No, what was I saying? You distracted me now. No, yes. That's the thing. That's the topic. Silly ways of measuring things. And I realized that... So I need to backtrack myself again now. Spiders are fine as long as they stay in a corner and don't walk and roam around.
No, they're not. Spiders should be dead in any case. You see one, you kill it. That's it. In a corner, in a wall, on the...
No, they're reasonable pest control. I just don't want them crawling on me when I sleep. That's something that freaks me out.
Yeah, but how can you know?
Because I wake up and I scream like a little girl.
No, you don't. No, you don't. If you have a spider crawling on you, you don't even feel it. It's too light.
When it's this size? Like 5 centimeters across?
Well, it depends. If you're laying in bed and sleeping naked, maybe you can feel it. Are you sleeping naked?
Yeah.
That's not too much information.
Why did you ask? You're bringing this on yourself now.
Yeah, okay. No, but I fucking hate spiders. Reasonably now I can control my fear of spiders because I need to look like a tough guy in front of my kid when we find a spider in the house, which is very rare now. Mm-hmm. But I understand your way of thinking things. Like spiders are back, so it's nearly spring, and it's a way to tell. Yeah.
That's where I was going with it. It's one of those. I mean, some people say like, oh, it's the trees are budding.
Mm.
Girls walk around in skirts again.
Mm.
The beggars from south of Europe has migrated north into Norway. Like signs of spring that normal people think about. And for me, it was like, no, the spiders have thawed out and they're out hunting. That's like the first notion of spring I got this year.
So. For me, it would be probably I'm not sick anymore. Mm. Like, because I spend most of my winters being sick, especially February, which is the worst months of the year. So when I'm starting to feel better and also want to spend more time outside, that's spring for me. So it's around March or something. But other than that, I can't see anything. Jan, do you have one?
Oh yeah, of course. Sore throat, itchy nose, itchy eyes. The allergies are kicking in with full blast. It's like, oh, must be getting spring.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And if then there's like plus 18 degrees Celsius, like in the, what is it, high 60s, low 70s, one week, and then you got snow the next one, that's, you know, you're reaching April.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We always have like a full spring, and then we have second, third winter, and
exactly.
All that foolishness.
When we were driving back today, we were at the Lake Constance area. Mm-hmm. We drove back and we saw snow today.
Oh. Yeah.
So that was disturbing because we were like, we had a couple of days lately where I thought it's like, well, maybe I get out the shorts.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was that.
Wait, so you saw snow and was thinking of shorts?
No, I was thinking that I was like almost wearing shorts like about a week ago.
That way around. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Makes more sense. Other one would be silly, even for me.
No, we had like last weekend, we had 17 to 18 degrees Celsius.
Oh, fuck that.
And then we drove back this morning with 2 degrees Celsius.
Honestly, when I was forge welding yesterday, it was nice and sunny and plus 5 degrees, and it got too fucking hot in the forge already. I had a massive fan going, and doors open and all that.
Okay, yeah.
And still in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
That was okay. I didn't melt, but
yeah,
I'm dreading summer already.
Oh, Rasmus, our little snowflake.
Yeah, I melt too easily.
Yeah, thawing in summer must be hell for you.
It is. That's why I take July off.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Frostpunk. I know what I'm doing this summer.
Yeah. 25th August, right?
No.
July?
June.
I don't even remember the...
You posted it, you bastard.
Yeah, the text that I sent you.
July 25th. Ah, fuck. July 25th. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll manage.
Still a few months. Which is weird that they publish or start selling this game, which is about frost and snow and very cold temperature during summer.
I think the first one came out in February or something.
Okay.
And I am guessing they wanted a winter release for this one as well.
Yeah.
But they realized probably, I'm very much speculating, they probably realized last summer or something that they are nowhere near meeting their deadline of a winter release.
Yeah.
But postponing it by a full year would mean that they would probably lose out on or having too much of a delay in the return on investment of making it. So they just had to go for a unhappy medium, I guess.
Mm. Okay, yeah, makes sense.
But back to topic. What's some other silly ways you measure things?
Exactly that. Video games. I'm a big fan of Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed games. As you know, I've mentioned it many times, and they always go out October of like every other year. A few years back was every year. So I was like, hey, it's nearly Christmas because the new Assassin's Creed is out. So that was a way for me to start planning on winter and Christmas holidays and gifts for the family and stuff like that. But other than that, I don't I don't really have that kind of way of measuring things by what I see around me, unless it's the obvious, like, yeah, it's less snow, better temperatures, and more green in the trees.
When it comes to seasons, what I just remember is, like, I never look at, like, the official start of, like, spring, summer, and, like, whenever they say it's, like, from this date on.
Yeah.
I definitely, for me, spring, autumn, winter, summer are dedicated by clothing. If I can wear shorts, it's summer. If I have to, like, wrap up, it's either, like, when you take out, like, your first long jackets and stuff, that's when it gets autumn.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm freezing my balls off when I see snow, it's winter, and it doesn't matter if it's in March or in April.
And also, you should get dressed before walking outside.
Yeah.
Not do it naked.
That must be a lie. That's fake news.
We had snow in June here, which was very weird.
Yeah, that's France.
Yeah, but I remember that because it was the burial day of my grand-grandfather.
Funeral.
And the funerals. And we were all outside in the cemetery, and it was fucking snowing in beginning of June. It was like,
was it like
weird.
A cold snap or?
Yeah, probably. I don't know, but it happens.
I want to ask if he was a cold bastard, and that's why it was snowing. But
he was special.
If he was hot-headed, maybe it was when even the weather tells you to cool down.
No, I haven't known him. A long time. I was probably 6 or 8 when he passed away, so I was not very close to him, and he was very old, that was not able to talk or move freely. He was probably 86 when I was 6, so when he passed away, I was like, yeah, he's dead. It's just a bit of information for me, but it's nothing was really missing in my life. It was like, thanks. We don't have to go to his place every Sunday of every month now, because that's what we used to do. But yeah, it was still weird to have snow on that day in June. But yeah, seasons, I mean, I care for seasons, but it's not very the things very important in my life. I don't decide what I do because of seasons anymore, unless it's forging. I don't forge during summer because it's like unbearably hot and it's killing me literally. But other than that, when I'm working at home, I can work any day of the year when I feel it.
Yeah, so, also because you're inside.
Yeah, because I'm inside, obviously. So my way of measuring things is more, it's more connected to me, so to speak. Like when I notice changes in my mood, I know that I'm tired or need to change what I'm doing or like I'm not very, very clear about that, but like it's like you have to take the stairs and climb up to the fourth story, and you're like, oh, now fuck, I'm too old or I'm too fat or whatever. It's a good way of measuring who you are at that point. I do that with my mood, and it's usually very bad during winter, probably because of the light and the seasonal depression and the sickness and people being dicks around me. So it's very...
I mean, moving out of France would probably solve at least one
thing. I'm sure. It was not the case when I was living in a different country. So yeah, I'm sure it has something to do with it. and especially these days with all the news that we have on the TV, and we are not heading in the right direction. So, yeah.
It depends on who you're asking.
Yeah,
there's enough guys running around with signs saying the end is near. If you ask them.
Yeah. I mean, we have a weird guy as a president that is willing to take the country towards war, which is, in my humble opinion, not the right move, but he's here and he will stay for 3 more years, so I guess we are fucked. But anyway, measuring things.
Yeah, I was thinking also a bit like outside of seasonal stuff.
I just remembered something. You know how you say it's like how many storages something is high, or like if you keep distance for a car length, like in traffic. This is something, it's just like, I use that all the time without even knowing. It's like, I bet a car length is somewhere specified, because it's Germany, it's somewhere must be specified how long a car length is. And yes, some of our listeners will probably know, or yeah, the exact height of a storage, but still it's like we're thinking in the height of storages.
Yeah, but it's the car length. It mm-hmm. depends on the car. Like, it's when you are doing a recipe coming from the US. You have add 2 cups of sugar. What's a fucking cup? The cup, yep. The size of the cup depends on the cups that you have. It should be decided, and I'm sure it is decided, like in grams or milliliters or whatever. But we don't use that kind of measurement in our recipes because it doesn't make sense to us.
Because we are sensible people and realize let's have a standard unit of measurements instead Absolutely. Of variable found objects.
Yeah, and now I realize we are heading to discussing imperial measurement, which
we don't have to.
We don't have to do that. The thing is, something I can understand, for example, is like you don't always have a scale on hand, but like if it says 2 cups, especially if it's in collation of something. When I do rice, for example, I take 1 cup of rice into the rice cooker and 2 cups of water. Yeah. And I could use a bowl or
You can use anything.
A handful, which gets difficult with the water, but you get my drift. It's basically it's in correlation with each other.
Yeah, but usually so this one in your works. Recipe, it's like you have to measure sugar, flour, and it's in correlation with
flour.
That's what I said. I cook with whatever I want. I'm French.
And wherever. That's fine too.
No, but it's in correlation with the number of eggs that you're using. So it can't be whatever cup you want. It has to be kind of close to whatever quantity of sugar, milk, or flour.
Flour.
Is that what I said? Flour. That your an egg is supposed to be mixing with.
Yeah, but it is normed. Like there is a calculation table which tells me especially what it is. The same that I think that it is for car length and like storages. Stories.
A building story is about 4 meters, but a car depends on the car.
But it's always there's also normed.
It's always 100%.
I'm sure there is. But if what happens when you don't know the length of the thing? Like, our friends in the UK are talking with stones. What's the fucking stones?
It's one of those things you kick.
No, but talking about weight, like, I lost 5 stones because I did a diet. What? How much did you lose?
I mean, that's because half the country is still in the medieval era.
Yeah, but when I asked an English guy, he said, we have no idea. We don't really know how much it is. So
But they do know how much to weigh in stone, and that is the silly thing.
Yeah, my point exactly. So you're using a unit of measurement that you even can't define. That's very interesting to me as a language teacher. People usually know what words are and what they are representing. But when you are using a unit of measurement and that you don't know precisely, like a stone or a car length, so what are you really referring to? It can't be the exact measurement of that thing. It's like a general idea of the thing.
I mean, it is kind of like when you don't have a ruler and you just know that I need the distance between on this. I take this stick that I have, I put it in the corner, I make a mark where it meets the door. Now I know how long of a shelf I can make to fit.
Yeah, because you have the stick in hand. But what if you don't have the stick?
Then you get a different stick.
No, because you don't have
it. Your arm.
Yeah, but okay. And then you walk around with many stripes on your arm because you measure.
No, you make one.
Yes, with a pen, and you write on that shelf one, and the next one is shelf two.
You know what I did when I was around 20? I measured because I knew I was not going to grow up anymore. I measured the exact distance between the tip of my thumb and the tip of my middle finger when my hand is fully open. So I know it's 22.5 centimeters. So if I need to measure something, I have this kind of ruler on me.
I mean, I know the same. I mean, across my knuckles is about 10 centimeters. With the thumb out, that's about 15 and that's about 20.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you have the reference because you did measure that once. And so now you have the knowledge to use as this as a reference for something.
It's not like another like 5 more years and then it's probably going to be only like 22 centimeters instead of 22.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I know I'm shrinking. I'm going to be shrinking even more. So yeah, sure.
I don't think your hands shrink though, unless you have a bandsaw accident.
No, I think we would have to ask a doctor that we know, but I've heard that all your articulation shrink at some point because of the lack of cartilages or whatever. So I know it's true with the...
Yeah, but that's mobility. That's like your actual digits don't become shorter. It is the movement of the fingers and hands.
Let's check out now. I have a ruler just behind me.
This is the best audio podcast ever.
Exactly.
Yes. So it is actually
he's disgustingly organized though, because he turns around, it's like one grab and he has the ruler.
It's because he's been sick, it hasn't had time to mess up the workshop in a while.
That's true.
That's true. No, didn't shrink, still 22.5.
Yeah. So it's easy.
27 years later, didn't change. That's good to know. Yeah. Thanks, Raz.
See? Positive.
Funnily enough, something that basically doesn't change at all is your grip strength.
My mother wouldn't agree with you at all.
Has she been working physically all her life?
Far from it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, she was a teacher. She worked a lot, long hours, and it was like very demanding spiritually because kids, noisy, loud kids.
But
she never used her hand like for manual work, if that's your question. Yeah.
Because I believe grip strength is one of those things that you can train and get stronger all through your life.
Yeah.
It's like diminishing returns as you get older, but that's one of those things. And I think also in the sense that we pretended to have a topic, we're going far off topic.
Yeah, we do whatever you want. It's our place. It's our podcast. We do.
When you turn, so if you have been practicing running all your life, when you are 60 to 70, you basically have the same running ability as when you have 18.
That's really good.
If you practice all through your life.
Yeah, sure. If you don't stop doing something, you don't have to regain and everything. I noticed that, like, being in bed for 2 weeks, I probably lost almost 1.5 kilos of muscles.
That's about a fifth of a stone.
Yeah, if you say so. And after I started feeling better and walked around the house and tried to get back to a normal life, like doing stuff during the day, my muscle was sore. Like I was training again, like practicing sports that I haven't practiced in a long time. Like you have to regain this ability. So if you keep training, you don't lose that. But as soon as you stop doing something, you will have to work your way back to the level you were at. And I don't think it's only for strength or mobility. I think it's also true for creative work, like making stuff. There is a few skills that you develop throughout the years. And if there is one particular skill that you don't practice for, like, let's say 1, 2, 3 years, you would have to kind of relearn it again a little bit. It's not going to take that long to regain, but the first, like, let's say 2 or 3 first tries are not going to be as good as they used to be like years ago when you are practicing that or doing that every day.
I'm going to be difficult. I'm going to say that pretty much every skill you learn is like learning to ride a bicycle. You feel fucking awkward the first couple of times you try to learn to ride a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you get the physics and technique of it going, you never forget it.
No, I'm not saying you're forgetting it, but...
No. But also, I think we have kind of told ourselves a story that learning how to ride a bicycle is the only thing that is like riding a bicycle. No. I think everything is.
Yeah.
I think as soon as you learn how to do something, you are able to do it. But if you don't do something for 50 years and try to pick it up again, you will still be able to ride that bicycle, but you will take a while to look elegant doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's say swimming. You practice swimming when you're a kid. If you're on a grown-up man and you are thrown into a river, you will be able to.
I am. You don't have to say if.
When? Let's say that. You will be able to save your life because you don't forget how to swim. But you're not going to be quick or elegant while swimming. I absolutely agree with you. A few months back, I was cleaning a place at my parents' and I found my old guitar back that was stored carefully because it's very beautiful guitar, love of my life. No, after my wife, obviously, and my kid. And my kid wanted to hear something. I was like, no, I can't. I can't show you anything right now because I didn't touch that guitar for like 20 years. I was kind of good back in the days, but now I would have to practice like a few hours a day for a month or two to get back to the level I was at when I was.
But it's muscle memory.
Yeah. It's mainly muscle memory, but.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. You don't compare riding a bicycle to the best you were when riding a bicycle.
No, because it's just a fucking bicycle. If you don't feel you're good enough. If you're
playing a guitar, it is the same kind of thing. It takes very little effort for you now, I bet, to just pick it up and get going and get something that is close to the level you used to be. But because you know so distinctly how good you were, no, you will never feel like you are good enough. There's a difference, though,
because if you're playing an instrument, especially one like a guitar, your fingers, this is something you have to constantly train to keep good at it.
Yeah.
You're not, and with a bicycle, it's basically of keeping balance and pedaling. It goes a lot faster and you look better. Like, I mean, it only takes, even if you haven't been on there for like 20 years, like, I don't know, I've during the whole time I was in the US, I didn't ride a bike. So I haven't been on a bike for like 5 years and probably the 5 years before that. The first time I got myself a bike, I jumped on it and it really like, it only took me, you know, like 2 minutes of like just wobbling a little bit and just basically figuring out the mountain bike. And then I was going at it again. Yeah. You could never do that with a guitar. You just can't.
If you were as good as playing a guitar as you were at riding a bike, I think you could.
Yeah, but define, if you try to, in my opinion, if you try to define riding a bike successfully and playing guitar successfully, one is just not falling flat on your face when you're trying to move.
So you're managing to hit
the string on the guitar. That's like the one to
one. Yeah, and the other one, if you want to be successful, quote-unquote successful at playing guitar, it just has to sound good. And you should be able to like play a song that makes sense and that people would recognize. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not just like making a la or C or whatever, because that's muscle memory. That's something that you learn and usually don't forget because it's like very, it become natural, organic for you to do it. But so the level is obviously different, but like I've never heard anyone say, I'm fucking good at riding a bike.
Like, unless they are competing.
No, but even though, like, they say they are fast, but they, like, I'm not good at riding a bike. Like, oh, look at me. Like, I'm so beautiful. I'm so elegant. I'm so graceful when I'm riding a bike. Doesn't make sense.
But is that because we don't put any value in the technicalities of using a bike? Or is it because it quote unquote doesn't require skill because it's all physics?
No. I think it does require skills. It's just like driving. I've known
my new measurement. How many bike rides is this going to take till I master that new thing?
I've known people who are unable to drive a car because they can't grasp the skills that are required to do so. Mm-hmm. And even though they can start up the car, put in first gear to second gear, whatever, doing so, they can't be aware of the world around them, and therefore they are dangerous for themselves, and they are dangerous for other people. So that's a skill that is unreachable for them. But I've never heard of someone saying, "I can't ride a bike," because unless they are very young kids, but they learn, and the physics of it is kind of easy. You need the momentum to just have the balance, and that's it. And after that, you have to remember to press the things to just stop.
Yeah, and not only the front wheel, because that's
and pricey. Good point. Not only the
first front thing, wheel. Stay on top of the bike. Second one, don't use the front brake when you're going fast.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You learn that one pretty quickly. Right?
Oh yeah. Oh, you should only take one try.
Yeah, yeah.
Or three.
I mean, if you hit the ground so hard at first, then you forget about it again.
Yes. No, but the. I forgot what the point I was trying to make was, but I think that everything that you will learn in life is like a skill on top of another skill on top of another skill and so on and so on. A skill can just only be understanding something. Like when you learn language, you understand the principle of the language, the construction, the structure of the language. It's not something that you have to practice. You just have to understand it. And when you have understood that structure, the language becomes easier to learn, and therefore develop your skill in whatever language you are learning. I think it's most of the time that, but sometimes it's just like the skill is so like small or not demanding that much, like using a knife. That's something that you are supposed to learn early on. You just put the thing and you pull and you push, and it will, like, just like a saw, and it will cut whatever you want to cut when you are
not cutting. Your own fingers aim correctly.
Yeah, you do that also once, twice, and you learn. But that's not something that you forget unless you have a big accident and you lose memory and you have to relearn everything, like speaking, walking, and using like everyday life items. That can happen, but that's not something that you forget because you are not using that skill, because the skill is not demanding or doesn't require all your focus or whatever. But it can happen when you make something.
But it comes a lot down to your ambition, though, doesn't it? Or what you're using the skill for. Like I said, using a knife, cutting vegetables,
mm-hmm.
you would say, anybody basically can do that.
Yeah.
From 2-year-olds to 92-year-olds or older.
And right? Some people are very, very good at it, like cooks.
That's the thing. Like, it's the same with riding a bicycle. We say you can sit on it and go from A to B and not fall off.
Mm-hmm.
You can ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people who do BMX, and they are on a different planet entirely, skill wise.
They are not riding a bike. They are doing BMX, as you said. Definition is not the same.
The instrument is the same.
Yeah, sure. But it's like, I drive my car. Lewis Hamilton drives a F1. We don't have the same skills. Like, he's one of the fucking best driver in all mankind history.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we are doing the same thing. But we are not driving the same car. We are not driving a car at the same place. He's on the circuit and he's going 380 an hour, and I'm doing 50 or 80 because you see what I mean?
Yeah, like, but that's all different ambitions, though.
Yeah, but it's...
Go for it. I would like to think that my point still stands, that...
It does.
It is, quote-unquote, only about how much worth you put into becoming stupidly good at something. Like the people who are champions in whatever BMX things are actually judged at. I have no fucking idea. I just think it looks like magic.
Mm-hmm.
They have put an incredible amount of value into getting incredibly good.
Absolutely.
At something we would consider to be really, really simple and basic. They're taking it a whole other level. They're taking the art of using the front brake and not falling off.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And you can take the same... I think that's the same scale of riding a bike and going into the championship of BMX as it is of playing a guitar. You can learn how to tune a guitar pretty easily, maybe even by ear, without getting too far off or being horribly wrong at it, without too much practice.
Yeah.
But to play enough for it to be your sole income and to be recognizably super good world over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other type of skill, not to go into the whole media and corporate recognition and celebrity pile of part of it, just that technicality behind it.
I fully agree with you. And let's go for it.
When we say it's like riding a bike,
mm-hmm.
the expression means you can get on top of it and not die, not fall off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you can ride, if you get the driver's license, you can drive a car, no matter how long it's been since last time.
I know.
But I mean, legally, that's the same.
That's the problem. That's legally, well, yeah, it's the yeah. same.
But that also goes for blacksmithing.
Mm-hmm.
My eye-hand coordination inside of the world of blacksmithing would deteriorate severely if I don't practice it for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if I don't do it for 2 weeks, I feel the difference.
Yeah. Right. Driving after 2 weeks being sick, I saw the difference.
Yeah, but that's also compared to something you do so fucking often and that you focus so much on and that you put value in being good at.
Yeah.
But you never do that with riding a bicycle.
Because I don't ride bicycles, first for one. And then, no, but I really see your point. I agree with it, but... I would say that if you stick to the expression, it's like riding a bike. Mm. It just means that you'll be fine because that's not something that you have forgotten fully. You will still be able to do it. Mm. Doesn't refer to the level that you had or have or will have. Yeah, it's just like sure. you will not for you have not forgotten the thing.
Yeah,
but. As you said, if you don't practice something for a long period of time, or even a short one, depends on the thing, you will lose your ability to do it. Mm. And therefore, you were talking about like lifelong driving license. I'm against it.
Oh yeah, I've seen my dad drive.
Yeah, I'm strongly against it because I've seen my dad drive.
Yeah.
Too. When he was younger, I was a kid, he was driving like me. So not fast, always respecting the speed limit, but like a dynamic way of driving. Like just to have a little bit of fun without being dangerous for anyone, including himself, me as a passenger, or anyone on the road. Just a little bit of dynamic driving. But now he's 73 and yeah. he forgets to put his blinker or he forgets to check the mirrors. Not because he decided to get quote unquote bad at driving, but because he's older. And so his focus has to be more on what's in front of him and less what's around him.
Yeah, I guess that's a bit of cognitive decline.
Exactly. And therefore, when they tried to pass this law in France, like last week or 2 weeks ago, that the proposal of a new law that would require old people to have a check, to be checked, like, do you see well? Do you hear well?
Yeah.
To keep their driving license. Everybody was mad and said, no, it's my driving license. I got that in 1945 and it's still mine. And I was like, you're blind, you're deaf, you don't have any kind of reflex anymore, and you're still on the road and you are fucking dangerous.
To be honest, though, to make the argument,
mm-hmm.
it's still the same as like riding a bike, though. Because if you'd put your dad on a bike, I won't think he's going to be better than on the car. So it still equals out.
Oh, I've seen my dad on a bike. No,
but it's very hard to kill a family of four by running into them with a bike.
Yeah.
That. Yes. No, I'm not talking about the consequences. I'm just talking about it's like if you're not looking to the left or to the right while driving a car, you probably won't do it on the bike either.
Yeah. The only thing that my dad can do riding a bicycle is make me laugh loudly. That was hilarious to see him.
Nobody worth it, though.
Oh, it was totally worth it. Totally worth it. No, but it's very strange how people don't recognize that people, like in a broad sense, like I'm making a generalization that I probably shouldn't do, but some people, let's say, don't recognize the fact that if they don't do something for a long period of time, they will forget, unless they have reached that age of acceptance. Like, okay, I'm getting old. that shit is not for me anymore because I haven't practiced in so many years, or my physical condition doesn't allow me to do it anymore. Like I enjoy watching people snowboarding a lot because
I was gonna ask about that.
Yeah, it reminds me when I was young and when I was super fit and
in 1843.
Yeah, around that. Yeah, doing dangerous stuff. But I know that I could not do that anymore. It wouldn't be safe for me. I would have to practice again a lot, and work out some specific part of my body in order to practice it safely. So I still enjoy people doing the crazy stuff that I used to do, but not anymore. Now the only fear that I have is that my kid does it alone in the mountains while I'm not here, because I know how dangerous it is. But I also know that it's fucking fun, so I'm not gonna say him don't ever do that, because I had the greatest days of my life doing that kind of stuff. So my parents, for example, are now old enough to ask me for help when they have something a little bit like technical with the computer, even though that's absolutely not technical for us. Like I had to stop to my parents this afternoon to change the ink tanks in their printer.
Yeah.
My mom could have done it by herself with a little bit of guidance from me on the phone, but she was insecure to do it by herself. So I stopped, did it, and went smoothly. It took 5 minutes. That's great. What I admire in her, there's this kind of disappointment at some point when you see your parents not be able to do something that they were able to do not that long ago. But I admire the fact that she recognized that's something difficult for her now. And asking for help has never been something easy for anyone, but she's able to do it now. So like, I need this. Can you stop? Can you help me do this, that? Fine. No problem. I will stop. I will help you, because I prefer that, knowing that you lost a skill, so to speak, because you haven't practiced it in a long time, or because it's not required from you to practice it every single day. I prefer that she ask for help. And I think it's something that we should, like, in a general sense, accept more easily. Yeah. Although, and that will be my last point, and after that I wish shut up, not accepting the fact that somehow you're getting old, or you're declining, or you have lost a skill, or you're not able to do something anymore. Not accepting this idea keeps you young, in a sense.
You mean living in denial keeps you young?
No, that's not what I mean. Denial is not exactly the word.
Okay.
It's a sort ignorant. Of denial. It's not ignorance. It's like the putting it in a nice way is the hope to get back to something that you or not get back, but still being able to do something that you were good at or enjoyed doing long time ago, and that you didn't have the chance to practice all those years.
Yeah,
like guitar for me. Like I would like to show my kid how to play the guitar, but I would have to practice. I was good back in the days, but I didn't practice for so many years. Now I would have to practice a little bit to show him and to maybe spark in him the love of just playing music.
Okay, can I be a bit contentious on
yeah,
that?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah,
isn't it also kind of worth it to show him how to practice?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
So it's like, I recognize your insecurity that you would like to show him how good you used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it could be arguably more important to show him the humility of accepting, I need to practice.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. 100%.
Well, I'm thinking about like, if I would try practicing the guitar in front of my nephew, he probably wouldn't learn any guitar, but he would learn a lot of cursing.
That's also education.
Yes,
that's,
of course.
That's also education.
But that's the kind of education that brings me into trouble with my brother.
That's why you don't live in the same house anymore. You can leave.
Exactly.
Quick example to your remark. Mm. Remark that's very good. My kid plays Fortnite. Yeah. He's quite good at it. He dragged me into it, so I'm playing now with him.
Oh, it didn't seem like it took much convincing.
No, it was really easy and smooth and quick. It's a fun it's a fun game. But I'm not as good as him, but I'm good enough to be able to play with him and have fun and not be killed at the beginning of the game and we are having fun, right?
Yeah.
And my wife started playing it along not that long ago.
Oh.
But she's not a gamer, so to speak. She plays video games. She always played video game, but she's not like fully into it. Hmm. And the other day, my kiddo was a little bit like, not mad at her, but he was kind of not happy because she was not as good as he wanted her to be. Okay? He wanted her to be as good as him in order to have a fun game in a high level. So we try to explain to him that if he's good now, it's because he practiced a lot. Yeah. And so practicing in any thing, it can be for him, judo, Fortnite, music, for us, making, forging, but dealing with people, because that's also a skill.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. Tell me about it. But yeah, the virtue of training and like taking the time to fail over and over and over again in order to become good at something, or not as good as you would like to be, but if just like the first step of being good or good enough for your own self-esteem, let's say, that's very important. And now he's talking about learning an instrument, and we are trying to teach him, not teach him, that's not the right word, but to make him understand that when you commit to an instrument, you have to practice every single day in order to be good. Otherwise, you're just going to be disappointed by the instrument, by yourself. It's going to be hard. Yeah. So you have to practice every single day in order to reach the level that you have in mind for yourself in a certain period of time. So I agree with you. The fact that you have to practice and show that it's practice and show that it's difficult, that it takes time, is very important. It's a very important notion to give to our kids, but also to adults. Because now with social media, you only see the results of stuff. You only see people in Instagram posting their work or on TikTok posting their work. And it's like, look, it's beautiful. It's like, yeah, that's fucking beautiful. But you tend to forget all the work that went into the thing and all the process in acquiring these skills that led to that result. And yeah. Don't forget that. Like the first day I started learning Japanese, the teacher, that beautiful teacher that did that class that day, said to us, you will be able to speak Japanese in 12 years. Maybe. And the maybe was very important. Like you have to practice every day. You have to learn every day. And maybe if you commit to it in 12 days, you'll be able to speak Japanese. Something I never forgot. And I'm trying to apply to everything. Like it takes time and effort and commitment, so
that's something to focus on.
I hope so. Yeah.
very smooth.
Nice.
It's almost like you're getting too good.
It's like riding a bike, really.
Well done.
Very nice.
Can I go first because we are talking about music and we are talking about the guitar, so it's kind of related to it. My wife has been listening to this band for a few years, which I never really paid attention to because it was like kind of dark and weird. And yeah. And recently I started to listen to it and to read the lyrics because I needed a gift for my wife. So I started to buy her the sweatshirt and the pendant and the stuff and the thing. Sure. Yeah, merch that she really enjoys. Also try to look for tickets, but yeah, it's a different story. Anyway, I started to listening to the band, and so the band is called Sleep Token. It's a huge thing on the social at the moment. I'm not gonna specifically mention the band. It can be your jam or not. depends on the style of music that you
what
enjoy.
What if I prefer marmalade?
You can go for it, unless it's orange marmalade, and in that case you can fuck off. The drummer is called Two, like the number. This guy is absolutely insanely good. Like, I've mentioned my admiration for drummers in several episodes in the past. This guy, if you have a chance to go online, and especially YouTube, Drumeo, the channel I mentioned earlier, made a beat for that channel, or is explaining a part of a drum part of a song that they have. There is so many changes in the rhythm, breaks, and you like see the guy and he's like, yeah, he's just hitting stuff, he's improvising. No, he's not. The guy is really good. Again, the band is called Sleep Token. Very nice band, beautiful songs. If you're into metal, rock, dark and stuff, you would really enjoy it. But more specifically, the drummer called Two, this guy is absolutely insane and crazy and good. And I have a deep admiration for him. So yeah, that's my focus this week. And now I'm going to shut up.
I think I can say right away that Modius should listen to this band.
Yeah,
It seems to be up his alley.
Yeah.
Just by the few things I've caught onto so far. Jan?
Yes. I focused on him before, North of the Border.
Yes, you did.
He makes clay stuff.
Yeah.
He starts every video with I made. And last week he made a bear with a minigun. Oh. And it's exactly what I like to watch at the moment. It's just, I love his humor, the way he makes the videos. It's just sculpting is on point. Yeah, you've seen it.
It looks deranged. It looks absolutely deranged.
I absolutely freaking love it. Other videos, it's like I made Qubit, and then it's basically realizing he's looking at 25 to life. It's just his humor is right up my alley. Or like he has other videos like try to make Spider-Man, got confused, made Man Spider. No regrets. Yeah, what the next video, like 1 week later, was try to make Ant-Man, got confused, made Man Ant. Some regrets.
Bear with a minigun is just beautiful.
And you can basically watch all of them because just the humor of it. He also made some stuff from like Spirited Away, Zelda. He does some stuff. So he goes into some of them. And he also has that strange, morbid humor where he takes cartoony stuff and he makes them realistically.
Yeah, the Simpsons.
Just makes,
scary Simpsons. Realistic Simpsons.
Oh yeah, or Bert and Ernie.
Oh yeah, but it's good stuff. It's great. Yeah, good focus.
Yes, very much so.
How about you, Ras?
I have been watching Avatar: The Last Airbender on Netflix.
That is so freaking. Oh, that is so good.
So, small caveat: it is not as good as the anime, but it is fucking close.
I've only seen the first one, and the first one was really good. So I'm looking forward to see the rest.
I binged the whole
season. I also binged like basically the whole season, or like an episode a day kind of thing. It's not the anime, and I need to keep reminding myself, especially in the first couple of episodes, because like there's just tiny things that you feel are missing that were so fucking good in the anime, and it's just good. In the TV show, and it feels bad, but it is good. But it took me a couple of episodes to fully like grasp, like, no, this is the interpretation from these actors.
Still better than the movie, though.
Oh, by far. We don't talk about Shyamalan. That's just a tragedy.
Yeah, we can talk about him, but not Avatar.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, it's funny that you said it, Russ, because when I watched it, it's been so long that I watched the anime. That for me, it actually felt like they're keeping really, really close to the main story. Like, I felt like I've been rewatching the anime just as a movie.
And it could just be the fact that I watched the anime so recently that I am unconsciously comparing them so much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, by the end of the season, it was so fucking good. It was so satisfying to see Katara dueling.
No, spoiler. No, shoot. No.
I'm just saying names. I'm just saying names.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot of the other moments, the how they portray the hurt of Go, how Iroh is trying to be in the background and steer him and give guidance, mm-hmm. and not always breaking through all of the hurt and trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really, really good show.
Yeah,
I think Netflix is putting a lot of efforts into making live action version of anime lately, because One Piece was really good.
The CGI is
Same thing with the Airbender. So mm-hmm. they maybe understood what the public was asking for.
Yeah. There are things that kind of annoy me slightly. I mean, that I feel like they're trying to do, but it's kind of like, and this is very nitty gritty stuff. Example, the firebenders, like all of them are kind of doing mm-hmm. like the tiger paw thing with their hands mm-hmm. to generate fire. And it's like, no, the whole point of firebending was that it comes from your breath.
Mm.
But they're doing a lot of other things that feels good, where the movements of the characters correspond, or the bending styles the character using in martial arts correspond to some actual martial arts styles that are distinctly different. And how they move through that is different. But I just think it looks super silly when all of them are trying to do like tiger paws to generate fire. And it's like, no, you shouldn't be able to do that.
But in their defense, it's very difficult to show breath or breathing in a movie without like showing, like zooming on the mouth, and
especially with them wearing their helmets. I think that was basically what leveled it out.
By all means, but I think it could have been done differently, maybe with the fire coming more from the core of the person instead of their hands and things like that, that it's flowing through their body.
Yeah, but if you go that route, you know, in Lord of the Rings, when the four hobbits are under this tree and the bad guy is on his horse just Nazgul, he could have like walked two more steps and find these fuckers and end the story there. So it could have been made differently. Yeah.
But indeed. And that is a really annoying plot hole, I find, in Lord of the Rings that we don't talk about. So be moving on.
Okay, moving on.
Watch Avatar The Last Airbender. I think it is really, really good. And I'm being stupid for finding things that are annoying.
No, that's okay.
But it is really, really good. And I'm super excited to see Toph in season 2.
Yeah.
Because she is fucking the best.
Small tiddly bit to finish what you were saying. You said that you were sitting in finding details that annoys you. That's the reason why I haven't started watching Shogun on Disney Plus yet.
Yeah.
That show, the old version of the show, is the reason why I fell in love with Japan when I was a kid. Mm. I was, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 when I've seen that show on TV the first time, and I was like, fuck, that country is like different, and it's the aesthetic is beautiful, and I fell in love. They've remade the show. Apparently, it's really good.
So plus,
and the actor is absolutely one of my favorite, and I'm just waiting for the show to be fully released so I can binge watch it like in probably one sitting. But I'm scared of me trying to find different stuff and not accepting the idea that it's a different show. It's a it's the show, but it's different. So don't spoil me. Don't talk to me about Shogun yet. I really want to watch it.
I think it's about the Shogun.
Yeah, it's about not partly. It's not the main character, but there is a Shogun inside in that show. But apparently it's really good. So if you don't know the book, if you haven't seen the old version, try the new one. Maybe you'll like it. And
that was your tidbit.
Yeah, that was my tidbit.
It sounded like a half focus. Okay.
No, it was not.
Okay.
It was just a
tidbit. Do we have other more tidbits?
I found that show when I was.
And if you want to tell Red to fuck off as well, you should do that on patreon.com/2/thirds-focused. And you can find us collectively at all of the other mostly social places. And I am at Rasmus Lewin and lewinsmeyer.no.
And you can find me at The Red Smith everywhere on the internet, more specifically at theredsmith.com.
And you can find me at Jan Maxwell or Northern Vendor on YouTube and Insta.
Good.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.